Hello and welcome to Pets Plus Us, a weekly program of information and stories about the companions in our lives, our pets. I'm Mary DeFranco, your host for Pets Plus Us. Coming up this half hour, we'll learn about the Cavalier King Charles Spaniel, hear about some very good dogs, and find out how to get the dog to go outside when it's raining. We will start with our featured breed. From time to time, I feature a specific cat or dog breed that you might find interesting. Today, we'll learn about the Cavalier King Charles Spaniel, a big name for a little dog. This information is provided by the American Kennel Club on their website at akc.org. Here are the basics. The Cavalier King Charles Spaniel's temperament is affectionate, gentle, and graceful. He ranks 18 of 193 at AKC Breed Popularity. He stands 13 inches and weighs between 13 and 18 pounds. Life expectancy is 12 to 15 years, and he belongs to the toy group. The Cavalier King Charles Spaniel wears his connection to British history in his breed's name. Cavaliers are the best of two worlds, combining the gentle attentiveness of a toy breed with the verve and athleticism of a sporting spaniel. About the Cavalier King Charles Spaniel, the Cavalier's all-around beauty, regal grace, and even temper mark him as one of the dogdom's noblemen. A toy spaniel no more than 13 inches high, the Cavalier draws you in with his face. The sweet, gentle, melting expression emanating from large, round eyes is a breed hallmark. Another is the silky, richly colored coat that can be one of four distinct varieties. Cavaliers may be aristocrats, but they gladly descend from their royal high horse for a backyard frolic or a squirrel chase. They get along nicely with children and other dogs. Adaptable Cavaliers do equally well with active owners and homebodies. They can be upbeat athletes or shameless couch potatoes, depending on an owner's lifestyle. Care. Nutrition. The Cavalier should be fed a high-quality dog food appropriate to the dog's age, puppy, adult, or senior. Some Cavaliers are prone to getting overweight, so watch your dog's calorie consumption and weight level. If you choose to give your dog treats, do so in moderation. Treats can be an important aid in training, but giving too many can cause obesity. Give table scraps sparingly, if at all, especially avoiding cooked bones and foods with high fat content. Learn about which human foods are safe for dogs and which are not. Check with your vet if you have any questions about your dog's weight or diet. Grooming. The Cavalier's lustrous, silky coat requires little more than regular brushing and an occasional bath to keep him in beautiful condition. Brushing not only helps to keep the coat shiny and tangle-free, but also serves as a full-body massage that the dog enjoys. Grooming sessions enhance the dog owner's bond and provide an opportunity to inspect the dog's whole body for any new or unusual bumps or other issues. The ears should be checked weekly for signs of infection, and the nails should be trimmed at least once a month, as overgrown nails can cause pain and structural problems. Exercise. Although the Cavalier was bred to be a beloved lap dog, he is descended from sporting dogs and does enjoy moderate exercise and indoor-outdoor activities. He will happily go on walks with his owner and also performs well in a number of canine sports, but he's just as glad to stay on the sofa all day. Cavaliers should not be allowed off-leash, because they retain scenting and hunting instincts, and they may not come when called. If they found an interesting trail to follow or a creature to pursue, a fenced yard is recommended. Socialization. The Cavalier is a sweet, gentle, and affectionate breed, very eager to please their human. They are friendly with strangers and with other animals, and they can do very well with children. They are smart and train easily, and Cavaliers excel in a number of canine sports, including obedience, rally, and agility. With their sweet nature, they also make fantastic therapy dogs. As with all breeds, early socialization and puppy training classes will help the young Cavalier to learn good manners and be comfortable with a wide variety of people and situations. Health. There are several health issues that Cavaliers are prone to. These include certain eye conditions, including retinal problems and cataracts, patella luxation, hip dysplasia, middle ear infections, mitral valve heart disease, and a neurological condition called syringomyelia. Cavaliers can be screened for all these conditions, and most live comfortably into old age. Owners should discuss any potential health issues with their dog's breeder. A responsible breeder will health test all potential breeding stock. Recommended health tests from the National Breed Club: hip evaluation, patella evaluation, cardiac exam, and ophthalmologist evaluation. History. Toy Spaniels were the province of European nobility from at least Renaissance times. The two 17th century British monarchs, the ill-fated King Charles I and his son Charles II, were especially devoted to a black and tan variety of Toy Spaniel that eventually was named in the latter's honor. According to the famed diarist of the Restoration era, Samuel Pepys, Charles II seemed more concerned with breeding Spaniels than ruling Britain. Toy Spaniels remained a great favorite of British aristocrats into the early 19th century. Among their upper-crust partisans of this era was the Marlborough family, who bred a line of red and whites at Blenheim Palace. Later in the century, in the Age of Victoria, the breed was crossed with Asian toys, probably pugs and Japanese chin, and and became what is known in America as the English Toy Spaniel, or in the United Kingdom, the King Charles Spaniel. This new style Toy Spaniel had a domed skull and a flatter face than those of Charles's time. Before long, this type came to dominate, and the traditional Toy Spaniel of the Restoration was rendered nearly extinct, but not forgotten. Fanciers of the 1920s wondered whether there still existed the old-type Toy Spaniel immortalized in ancestor portraits hanging in the stately halls of English manors. A wealthy American named Roswell Eldridge offered a cash prize to British breeders who could produce Blenheim Spaniels of the old-world type. The prospect of prize money drove breeders to revive the old style. These dogs were dubbed Cavalier King Charles Spaniels. The name Cavalier is a nod to the monarchist party that supported the Stuarts during the Civil War that cost Charles I his head. The breed is notable for its four distinct colored patterns, each of which at various times was associated with a particular noble family. Blenheim is the chestnut markings on a white background, tricolor, black markings on a white background, black and tan, of course, black and black with tan markings, and ruby, a rich red. Breed standard, general appearance. The Cavalier King Charles Spaniel is an active, graceful, well-balanced toy spaniel, very gay and free in action, fearless and sporting in character, yet at the same time gentle and affectionate. It is this typical gay temperament combined with true elegance and royal appearance which are of paramount importance in the breed. Natural appearance with no trimming, sculpting, or artificial alteration is essential to breed type. Here's some fun facts about the breed. Did you know Queen Victoria brought back the breed, but the Cavalier had changed radically from its original form? The original version of the breed had all but disappeared. The Cavalier King Charles Spaniel is AKC's 140th breed. The Cavalier was featured on the hit HBO series Sex of the City as Charlotte York's dog. I think her name was Elizabeth Taylor. When the House of Stuart fell, it became a political liability to be associated with the dogs of King Charles. The Tudors favored the pug, and the Cavalier breed became extremely rare. The Cavalier became fully recognized by the AKC in 1995. The Cavalier was a favorite of King Charles I of Britain, the breed's namesake. The AKC suggests other similar breeds to explore, and they include the Japanese Chin, the Pug, English Toy Spaniel, the Cocker Spaniel, and the Tibetan Spaniel. You can compare breeds on the AKC's website at akc.org. And National Breed Clubs and Rescue. Want to connect with other people who love the same breed as much as you do? We have plenty of opportunities to get involved in your local community thanks to AKC Breed Clubs located in every state and more than 450 AKC Rescue Network groups across the country. You can visit the American Cavalier King Charles Spaniel Club at ACKSCS.org. I hope you enjoyed hearing about the Cavalier King Charles Spaniel. If you would like to hear about other dog or cat breeds, please call me. Please call or write in and let me know, and I will be happy to share the information with you. And you can call WXXI or write in. And now for the portion of the program I like to call Don't Eat That. When summer starts to wind down and our thoughts and activities turn more indoors, that's a good time to review our inside environment for safety. If you have plants, or you or your furry friend visit a home or other place where there are indoor plants, you want to take care they don't chew on any of the following that Amber Canicle has compiled and posted in the home and garden section of the farmersalmanac.com. 30 common house plants from A to Z that are toxic to pets. While plants and greenery add beauty to your home, certain plants can make your pets sick, especially your curious indoor cats, who tend to gravitate toward anything green. Over 700 indoor-outdoor plants contain toxic substances that are not safe for your dog or cat. Here's a list of the most common toxic household plants that you should avoid or keep out of reach if you have pets. And they are listed in alphabetical order. The alocasia, otherwise known as elephant's ear. This plant can irritate or burn the mouth, lips, or tongue of cats and dogs. Other symptoms include vomiting and drooling. The aloe is poisonous to both dogs and cats, causing vomiting, diarrhea, and other symptoms. Amaryllis. These pretty flowers cause symptoms like stomach pain, drooling, tremors, diarrhea, and vomiting in cats and dogs when ingested. Arrowhead vine. This is a common bedding plant in larger planters, but it contains insoluble calcium oxalates, which cause burning of the mouth, tongue, and lips, along with drooling and vomiting in pets. Asparagus fern. These plants contain sapogenins, which is a compound that can cause dermatitis in dogs and cats. The berries are poisonous to your pets, causing diarrhea, vomiting, and stomach pain. Azalea. While these shrubs are mostly used outdoors, azaleas are sometimes used to create miniature bonsai trees indoors. However, the Grano toxin in azaleas is highly toxic to dogs, cats, and other animals. It can cause a wide variety of symptoms from vomiting and diarrhea to coma. The bay laurel. If you are fond of growing herbs and spices indoors, watch out. Bay leaves cause vomiting, diarrhea, and sometimes bowel obstruction in pets. Begonia. This is another houseplant containing oxalates, which causes severe oral irritation in dogs and cats. Caladium. Here is another plant that contains oxalates, which cause oral irritation, vomiting, and drooling when ingested. Cardboard palm. Some palm trees and shrubs are pet-friendly and others are not. This is one that you should avoid because the cytokine in these plants can cause several serious issues such as hemorrhagic gastroenteritis or liver failure. That's the cardboard palm. The clivia. This is a beautiful flowering plant, similar to amaryllis, but the alkaloids it contains can cause symptoms ranging from vomiting and diarrhea to low blood pressure and arrhythmia in both dogs and cats. Chrysanthemum. You may be tempted to move your gorgeous potted mums indoors when the weather gets colder, but they're toxic to cats, dogs, and horses when ingested. Signs of poisoning include vomiting, diarrhea, hypersalivation, loss of coordination, and dermatitis. Diffenbachia. All varieties of Diffenbachia are unsafe for dogs and cats. Toxic oxalates and proteolytic enzymes cause oral burns, drooling, and vomiting. Dracaenia contains saponins, which cause vomiting, excessive drooling, and other symptoms. In cats, this plant can also cause dilated pupils. Easter lily. While normally grown outside, this plant is sometimes given as a springtime gift. Its toxic mechanisms are unknown, but in cats, Easter lilies cause vomiting or, in severe cases, kidney failure. English ivy. This is a popular bedding plant in planters, but the leaves, in particular, are toxic. Dogs and cats will experience stomach pain, drooling, vomiting, and diarrhea due to saponins. Geranium. These lovely flowers are common both outdoors and as houseplants, but two chemicals that they contain, geraniol and linalool, can cause dermatitis, vomiting, and anorexia in dogs and cats. Hyacinth. This is another popular gift in the spring. Hyacinths are known to be toxic to dogs and cats, causing tremors, severe vomiting, and diarrhea in which blood is sometimes present. It is thought that this is caused by alkaloids throughout the plant, but particularly in the bulbs. Indian rubber plant. This small indoor tree contains ficin and ficusin, which cause a loss of coordination, vomiting, dermatitis, and oral irritation. The jade plant. It is unknown why these plants are toxic to dogs and cats, but when ingested, they cause nausea and vomiting. Calancho. These plants have beautiful flowers, but they also contain substances which cause gastrointestinal symptoms like vomiting and diarrhea in pets. Rarely, pets experience arrhythmia. Lantana. The foliage of this plant is poisonous to many animals, not just dogs and cats, but livestock as well. Pentacyclic terpenoids in the leaves cause labored breathing, weakness, and sometimes vomiting and diarrhea. In severe cases, liver failure can happen. The Mauna Loa peace lily, also known as the peace lily. If ingested, calcium oxalates in this plant cause cats to suffer oral symptoms, burning, drooling, difficulty swallowing, and more. Tulip and narcissus. These are common springtime bulbs that people love to give as gifts. The bulbs are poisonous, causing oral irritation, stomach pain, nausea, vomiting, and potential liver damage in pets. Philodendron. All varieties of philodendron contain oxalate crystals, which burn the mouth of dogs and cats and can also cause excessive salivation or trouble swallowing. Pothos. All varieties of this plant contain oxalate, which causes oral irritation and other symptoms. The poinsettia. Another holiday plant not worth having around if you've got pets. While ingesting poinsettia isn't normally deadly to pets, it can cause irritation in the mouth or stomach, which leads to vomiting and diarrhea. The sago palm contains cicasin, which causes gastroenteritis, vomiting, and other symptoms. In severe cases, a pet that eats sago palm could suffer liver damage or even liver failure. The snake plant. Because they contain saponins, snake plants cause nausea, diarrhea, and vomiting in pets. The spider plant. Cats are wildly attracted to spider plants, all those wiggly legs. While these plants are considered non-toxic, the compounds in them, which are related to opium, can result in an upset stomach, vomiting, and diarrhea in cats. For this reason, it's wise to keep them away from your pets. If you do have any, keep them up high in hanging baskets. And the yew, these evergreens, are sometimes used to create indoor bonsai trees or Christmas decorations, but they contain taxine, which is highly toxic to cats and dogs. Early signs of ingestion include symptoms like muscular tremors. Dogs may experience, seizures. Dogs may experience seizures. These symptoms can lead to cardiac failure. We've listed some of the most common toxic houseplants here, but before you bring any plant into your home, make sure you check with your vet. Now, do you or your dog hate to go out in the rain? Here are 8 tips to teach your dog to go outside in the rain from thehonestkitchen.com. Sure, you can't blame Fido for wanting to stay cozy in his bed when the weather outside is frightful, but at some point, he'll have to make the trek to the backyard to take care of his business. Here are 8 tips to positively teach your dog to go outside even when it's raining. Create a positive experience with the outdoors. Going outside should be a consistent positive experience for your dog. Don't wait until the conditions are less than ideal to start training. Spend time outdoors playing or walking together when there's only a light drizzle. Help your dog become comfortable with wet grass and rain by rewarding her while outside. Teach a hurry command. When it's time to go outside, use a cue word such as hurry to indicate he should get straight to business. No sniffing or lollygagging. Say the cue over and over while your dog is eliminating. Immediately praise your dog at completion of the task and make a beeline for the door. This teaches your dog he will be rewarded and can quickly retreat back to his cozy bed. Grab a raincoat and go outside. A good leader never asks someone to do something they wouldn't do, so grab your raincoat or umbrella and go outside with your dog. You may need a leash to get her past the threshold, but having you by her side will give her more confidence to venture into the rain. Take a quick walk. It's pouring. You're drenched and Fluffy is nowhere close to holding up her end of the deal. Don't fret. Sometimes you have to get things moving. Take your dog for a quick walk around the yard or the neighborhood. A few sniffs of something interesting, mailboxes or treats should do the trick. Keep your dog on a leash, even if your dog normally goes outside alone. A snapping branch or cracking thunder can easily spook pets, and they may dart in the wrong direction or try to escape. If you must go outside during heavy rain or storms, keep your dog close and safe on a fabric leash. Create an outdoor area with cover. Some dogs are more resistant than others when it comes to rain. If this is the case, find an outdoor area that's covered and suitable for your dog to use, such as a patio, sunroom, or a balcony. You can even purchase a synthetic grass patch for easy cleanup. Buy a dog raincoat. If your neck of the woods sees frequent rain, consider investing in a raincoat for your dog. A raincoat will keep her coat dry, free of wet dog smell, and warm. Dry your pet quickly and thoroughly. If you don't have a raincoat, or your dog doesn't like wearing one, make sure to quickly and thoroughly dry off your pet when he comes inside. You can keep an old towel handy by your door. Dry each paw underneath his belly, his back, and gently around the face. And remember, reward, reward, reward. A treat makes even the most undesirable experiences better. And finally, did you ever wonder, why do cats like heights? Monica Weymouth at PetMD explains. To us, humans, a refrigerator is simply a kitchen appliance, no more, no less. But to some cats, the top of the refrigerator is the promised land, a must-visit destination to be reached at all costs. What's behind the strange choice of hangout? It's not about the food, this time at least. As one of the highest vantage points in your home, the refrigerator holds a special place in your cat's high, loving heart. Cats live in 3 dimensions. They're not earthbound creatures like dogs, says Trish McMillan-Lohr, a certified cat behavior consultant. They simply love to climb. Why do cats like heights? Cats have a long and storied history with heights. Long before your kitty was scaling the dining room curtains and prowling across the top of the kitchen cabinets, his wild, just as agile ancestors were climbing trees to survey their meal options. In the wild, a higher place serves as a concealed site for which to hunt, explains Bridget Leahett, a certified feline training and behavior specialist. Trees also help wild animals from becoming meals themselves, perfect for escaping land-bound predators and hiding from birds of prey. While your home likely isn't teeming with hyenas, it may have two other pesky threats that require constant monitoring and quick exits: dogs and children. Cats feel safe when they're up high, especially if you have small kids or dogs who may follow and annoy them, explains Lore, who stresses that it's important to provide cats with plenty of vertical space to feel secure. There's also a certain prestige that comes along with the highest spot in the house. For multi-cat households, the position is equivalent to the corner office and may be defended just as aggressively. Height can indirectly be a sign of status, says Leahett. The cat who controls the best perches is generally the most dominant, literally the top cat. From that location, the cat can survey his realm and be more aware of activities of people and other pets. How to give cats vertical space at home. Yes, cats instinctually like and take comfort from heights, but they also require vertical spaces to feel mentally stimulated. So it's crucial that you provide kitty with plenty of opportunities to climb and explore inside the home. Vertical space is very, very important to cats, says Dr. Jennifer Fry, a Pennsylvania-based veterinarian who stresses that a lone bookcase won't cut it. You can increase vertical space by hanging shelves on the wall for them to climb, and you should have at least one tall condo for each cat. Katena Jones, a certified cat behavior consultant, agrees that homes should be outfitted with cat-specific vertical spaces to keep everyone engaged, happy, and healthy. City dwellers in particular want to make sure to maximize their square footage. If you think your apartment's tiny, imagine spending all day in it. The smaller your home, the more you need vertical space, she advises. Climbing posts are like litter boxes. They're simply a must-have. You can give kitty a safe and entertaining window hangout with a little creativity, says Leahett. Consider a suction cup for primetime viewing, or positioning cat trees near closed windows. If the window has a bird feeder, all the better. This safety provides much-needed enrichment through watching birds, also known as bird TV for cats, she says. And that will do it for this week. I'm your host, Mary DeFranco. I hope you enjoyed the program. Thanks for listening. And don't forget, please spay and neuter your pets. It's healthy for them and the environment. Pets Plus Us is a production of WXXI Reach Out Radio in Rochester, New York. I'm your host, Mary DeFranco. If you'd like more information about this program or to hear this program again, visit our website at wxxi.org/reachout. I'd also like to invite you to share your pet story with us by writing to us at reachout@wxxi.org.